Welcome back to the White, Dark, Mean, and Everything in Between podcast. This is episode 3. Today we'll be talking about mass communication, which is essentially just really large communication and how it affects people and how you should do it. And to introduce our first topic, I have the young, beautiful Chloe E. Johnson.
Thank you, Cole. Thank you. So mass comm is the process of exchanging information through mass media to large segments of a population.
Thank you so much. And can you take us into our first topic point?
So the first thing we will be talking about is the social cognitive theory, which holds portions of individuals' knowledge that help obtain and keep behavioral patterns.
Awesome. Yeah, social cognitive theory is really simple and complicated to understand at the same time. It's a big part of it is observational learning, which is kind of self-explanatory, but it's essentially what you see, you're going to learn. What you see, you're going to understand. What you can really comprehend, you're going to take to heart. You'll just know it. And social cognitive theory is essentially the combination of all the things that you're seeing, all the things you're experiencing, all the things that you've been told, all the things that you think. These will influence how you think and what you actually do. And to give a concrete example of this, I have Joshua Casey.
All right. Like I said, my name is Joshua Casey, and the example that I'll be giving, what I'll be talking about, is physical and emotional abuse. Well, usually, most part, whenever you were physically abused, especially when you were younger in your past, you tend to flinch more when people approach you or try and like get close to you. It's harder for you to like be cool with them because you were abused, so you always gonna flinch. And then emotional abuse, you tend to keep your guard up and try and not let anybody in because somebody you were either like taken advantage of emotionally, and you don't want to have that happen again. So of course you're gonna try and keep your guard up.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the way that when you go swimming, your fingers kind of get like that little raisin look to them, so that's like easier to move in water. It's like your body just kind of adapts to the way that it's been taught, the way that it's been raised, like you said, or like Josh said. If you've been abused, you kind of just develop this reaction to certain things. So it's really more like it's a genetic, biological thing humans have done over millennia so that they can adapt to their environment. And to introduce our second topic point, Chloe.
The second thing we'll be talking about is the agenda setting theory, which is the ability to influence the topics on the public's agenda.
This one is so big in mass communication, and one because it's kind of a silent killer. Often no one realizes when they have been agenda set, but they always know when the opposing side has been agenda set. It's a really not self-conscious problem that more people need to be aware about. And the way that agenda setting kind of works is often through something called framing, which is often two news stations, whatever political parties you want to say, call them either way, because both sides do it objectively. They'll take the same story, but they'll look at it from two extremely opposing views. One side may paint liberals or Republicans or conservatives something way worse than it should or way worse than what it was. And this can absolutely slander the other side when it's not true at all. And obviously, sometimes, like, a news story, it'll just be in favor of one side. Just because a story goes against one political party or whatever, that doesn't mean that it was automatically agenda setting, but there's always a possibility of it, and more people need to look out for it. And another big problem that comes from agenda setting is this puts people against each other, like, from a foundational level more often than any other. Like, in an argument, it is very common for people to just simply dismiss the opposing party, whatever party that may be, because they can't agree on a foundational level of what happened in a story or something like that. And to give a concrete example of this, Josh Casey.
All right. I would be using North Korea and how North Korea controls everything that people who live there do, such as they don't have Wi-Fi, they don't have access to World Wide Web, they can only call people that's in that country. And that's like with the government and how that controls them. They only can see what the government shows, and they don't really have access to anything. They can't buy religious literature. Like I said, they don't have World Wide Web or Wi-Fi. So they really just truly control what they see and what they can do.
Yeah, North Korea is really like this hyperbolic, unique example of agenda setting, because on one hand, we never see people actually like disagreeing about it, because the people in North Korea don't know that they're being agenda set and they're not allowed to leave. So how would we see people disagree about it? And to take us to our next topic point.
The third thing we will be talking about is the spiral of silence theory, which is a social group or society that is isolated or excluded, that has isolated or excluded members due to their opinions.
Yes, thank you. And I feel like spiral of silence theory is really like kind of a thread that pulls all three things, including spiral of silence theory, together that we've talked about today. Because you can always have one with the other. Social cognitive theory, people act a certain way based on what they've experienced. That's clearly a part of agenda setting theory. If they've seen things portrayed one way, they're going to act that way. And then if they're so passionate about one point, like what we were saying about news stations and stuff, then they're going to be less likely to stand up for themselves or like go against an opposing opinion, which is spiral of silence theory. Humans just naturally avoid conflict. And that's okay. Like I said, that's natural. But spiral of silence means less of an exchange of opinions because of almost fear. Like I said, fear of conflict. And just naturally, people don't want to start conflict, as I said. They don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to get people mad at them more often than not. And to give a more concrete example of this, Josh Casey.
All right. I'll be using the examples, and especially like predominantly white neighborhoods and white families, how their children will usually believe something different. But I'll be using the Black Lives Matter movement. Their parents or grandparents or just family in general will usually have something different to say about the Black Lives Matter movement, like how it's wrong. But the child will usually think different because like they know that police brutality is real and like that's wrong. But their parents think otherwise, so they won't say anything to try and avoid the conflict or having to talk to their family about it because they're afraid of being like banished or shunned by their family.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier about this being kind of a thread through all three points we've talked about, those parents or friends that might be socially pressuring a kid to do or to not do something, that's most likely, or it could very well likely be a product of agenda setting or social cognitive theory. Thank you for listening to the third and final episode of the White, Dark, Mean, and Everything in Between podcast. We hope you enjoyed our speaking. It was a pleasure to do it. Thank you.